Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Gemma Abel.
We'll just get straight into it then. Galatians 4, please, people. Galatians 4, we're going to start from the beginning because that's a really encouraging, nice bit, and then we're going to delve into a little bit that's not so nice. But it's okay because we'll get to the good bit at the end, okay? And it says, I will explain it like this. While the heir is a minor, he differs little from a servant. Even though he inherits everything, he is put under the authority of guardians and trustees until the time appointed by his father. Similarly, while we were minors, we were in bondage to worldly powers. But at his appointed time, God sent his son, born of a woman and born under the law, so that he might save those who live under the law, that they might be adopted as his sons. Hooray, that's the good bit, yeah? We're at that point. And once you became his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, that's the even better bit, enabling you to call him Abba Father, so you are no longer a slave, but now a son. And because you're a son, you're one of God's heirs. That is the fantastic part. Okay, here we go. Hold on. Before you knew God personally, you were in bondage to false gods. But now that you know him, or rather since God knows you personally, how can you turn back to those weak and useless things? Do you want to be in bondage to them again? You are, again, observing special days, months, seasons, and years like unbelievers. I fear that all my hard work among you has been in vain. Brothers, I urge you to identify with me in your freedom as I came and identified with you. I am not accusing you of doing anything wrong against me personally, for you are aware that it is a time of physical weakness that I preached the gospel to you. Even though my condition was a trial, you neither despised nor rejected me, but you received me as an angel of God, as you would have treated Jesus Christ himself. What then has happened to your life of blessing? For can I testify that if it were possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me? So have I now become your enemy because I speak the truth to you. There are people who show great concern for your welfare, but in completely the wrong way. They want you to break fellowship with me so that you can fight, you might follow them. But it is good for you to remain zealous for the truth at all times. Not only when I am present with you, you are my little children, for whom I continue in labor until Christ has been fully formed in you. I wanted to be with you at this time and be able to speak to you in a different tone, but I am worried about you. Okay, obviously I've been praying lots, okay? And I feel God really gave me a question. This is something I'm going to share with you today that God's been challenging me on. I've had 3.5 months of a massive grace period of having children, and God was like, that is all you're to do. Even my pastor came and said to me, I'm being considerate. And then he joked and said, I can be considerate. I said, thank you very much. That was very kind of you. And yeah, I said, okay, it's time to stop being considerate. God's challenging me. God's saying stuff. It needs to come out. So today, there's going to be a response, okay? And we're going to start with this. The response will either go, okay? And the question, well, these are the questions that we'll respond to. Are you consumed by your salvation? Do you want to share his gospel successfully? Do you believe what you are sharing? Or do you feel you are being swayed, influenced negatively? Do you want to be equipped well because you are being pulled? Do you want to get redressed this morning? That sounds a little bit weird at the minute. We'll get to that, the being redressed part, okay? It's all good. It will come through. So, Galatians 4, it's a hard scripture. But yeah, I want you to hear this morning that this is something which I'm not standing here with, I'm standing here because God's been challenging, and it's time to get it out there. For the last 4 or 5 weeks in this church, we've been challenged by Pastor Brian and by Pastor Paul about what gifts God has given us and what we're doing with them, how we're sharing them, what's coming out of us. And it's taken me about 3-4 years to receive the gift God has given me and to believe in the gift God has given me. And still every day, It's a choice to believe in the gift that God has given me. I don't believe he just gives us one gift. We all act in different ways. I believe we can all prophesy, but he will use people and highlight that in some people more than others. I believe we are all used for healing, but he will highlight that and give some people more opportunities in those circumstances of healing than others. For me, I believe God's given me a gift to communicate, and I don't like it, but I daily choose to live in it and to say, okay, let's go with it. So that is what we are doing. 5 weeks of God saying your grace period is over, get off your butt and do something. So, Galatians 4. I want to look at this, the section from 4 to 8, which wasn't the very nice section, that was the warning section. And it was Paul writing to the Galatians saying how concerned he was about them and challenging them and basically saying, was it worth it? Me sharing the gospel with you, was it worth it? Or was it a waste of time? Okay? And the first route, if you like, we're going to go down is that, are we consumed by our salvation? Do we want to successfully share what is within us? How do we successfully share what is within us? And how do we stand and take on our responsibilities as sons and daughters of God? How do we do that? How do we effectively share what God is putting in us? And for that, we're going to watch a video.
Okay, okay. Good job, buddy. Mission accomplished. That's a keeper. It's all right, tough guy. You got them all. Don't worry, Bolt. You saved the day again.
It's a good film. It's called Bolt. Check it out if you've never seen it. I've only just recently seen this film, and that's what I got from it. If the dog believes, the audience will believe. If we believe with every fiber of our being, that's what he said, the director, with every fiber of his being, that dog believes that he is a superhero dog and he is to protect that little girl. That little girl, her dad leaves at the beginning of the film and he makes, you know, a phone call. It's all very dramatic. And he's like, I can't come home, but you'll be okay. You have Bolt. I can't remember what he says. What's the word? I've done something. I've changed him to make him into a super powerful dog. And he hasn't at all. He's not a superhero. He has no superhero powers. The whole crew of the movie are there, like, clicking buttons to make sure all these special effects happen at the correct time for the dog to believe that he is a superhero. Anyway, the dog believes with every fiber of his being that he is a superhero dog and he is to protect that girl. And because he believes it, the audience is captivated and believes it. Yeah? If we believe with every fiber of our being our salvation, what Jesus Christ has done for us, what he's put in us, what he's gifted us with, as we share, as we effectively communicate it, as we pour it out to other people, they'll believe it. Our audience will believe it. Yeah? When you're recruited into new jobs and businesses, they spend thousands and thousands of pounds training you, don't they? Because they want you to buy into the brand. They want you to believe what you are then to go and sell, what you are then to go and do. I worked for a bank at one point, and they sent me to London for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks in the end of training. I had a week at one point and then 2 weeks later on. And yes, they taught me some skills in that, but it wasn't really about the skills. It was all about, this is our super brand, or brand of a bank. This is who we are. This is our ethos. This is our method. This is what we want to do to our customers. This is how we want to, you know, do the best we can for them. And they were telling you and describing all their different, loans, credit cards, mortgages, payments, all the different things. So you bought into it, if you like. You know, you were thinking, yeah, this is the best bank ever. Why would no one want to possibly bank here? But they spend thousands of pounds so that you believe it. So that when you're talking, when you're communicating, when you're selling it to a customer, they believe it too because you're so passionate about it. But we have Jesus Christ. There was no selling, there was no brainwashing, there was no, like, you must believe this. There was no influencing us in that way. There was an experience we have. Whoever in your lives took the time, like Paul did here in Galatians, took the time to preach the gospel to them, there will be someone, some people, something happened in your life where people took the time to tell you about Jesus that made you make a decision, yeah? I had a group of friends that used to, it was when I was at university, they used to go to the C Christian Union meeting every Tuesday night. And they would drive home, and every single night on a Tuesday, every week on a Tuesday night, they would sit in the car park outside our house and they would pray for me, waiting for the day that I said, yeah, I believe what you're going on about. I believe what you're doing. They spent a whole year doing that. And then eventually, with some coherence, I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Let's go see what it's about. But it was worth it. I am grateful to them, without a doubt, that they bothered. They didn't say, oh, I'm too tired tonight. They didn't say, oh, yeah, forget about Jem. They bothered to sit in their car for 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it was, every Tuesday night and pray for me because they wanted to see me come into the kingdom of God. It was worth it to me because now I have eternal life. Now I have a life of blessing. Now I have a life of health, of joy, of peace, of love, of kindness. I'm a completely different person to what I was back in university. And I'm eternally grateful to them. And to Jesus to say, come on guys, pray for this girl. She needs it. You know, it was a great thing. So whoever did that for you, was it worth it? Yeah, do you believe what you were giving out? Do you believe what you're passing on to other people? Are you passionate when you're communicating that, when you're talking about it? Or do you have doubts? Yeah? I said earlier, every day it's a daily choice for me to wake up and say, I believe God in what you've given me. I believe today because I want to have a joyful day. I want to love on people today. I want to have a fun day. I want to cope with my children today. I believe you've strengthened me. I believe you've put grace inside of me to deal with this. I believe that I'm full of your love so that whoever I meet throughout my day, I can love upon them. I don't get on with everybody. I like to, and I like to think people like me, but that's not the case all the time. And yeah, every day it's a choice to wake up and to say, yeah. If I let those doubts in or shy away from what God's given me, I'm not 100% believing it with every fibre of my being. So then when I talk to someone else, what are they going to get from me? Are they going to get that bit of negativity? Are they going to get that bit of doubt? You know, if they're saying, oh, she's having a really bad time, and she really is having a bad time, and she's really not coping with it very well, what's that? What message is that giving to people? I know we all have struggles. I know circumstances, and life can be absolute pants. But actually, our attitude in the circumstances, our outlook on the circumstances is not pants. It is one of hope. It is one of love. It is one of kind and joy. You know, is one that motivates us to get up in the morning, is one that gets us out of bed and says, regardless of how much sleep we've had, come on! Let's make a difference in someone's life. Let's make a difference. If I speak the truth, the audience will receive the truth. Yeah? If you speak the truth, if you have no idea what to say because someone is standing at your doorstep in a complete mess, speak the truth. I don't care how silly you feel. Quote scripture. You know? That will receive the truth then, and it will make them feel brilliant. It will make them feel loved. It will make them feel encouraged, because it's the truth. Thank you, sweetheart. And one good thing about having children, they always encourage you and agree with you. Until they get older, I'm sure. I'm yet to see that part. But anyway. You know, I am very grateful to those girls that sat in their car and prayed for me every week. You know, there was a sacrifice that they endured to do that. And I don't know about you lot, I I hate talking to random strangers. I don't like it. I'm not very good at it. I find it very hard because I'm a very shy person. But actually, everyone goes through that sacrifice to do that. Do you know what I mean? Everyone pays a price to share with people. And it is worth it. And you know how hard it is sometimes to step out of your comfort zone and to talk to people and to pray for people and to say, oh, you've got a limp there, let me pray for you. You know, for me, that's the most intimidating circumstance I can ever be in. But we do it because we know, actually, it's worth it to that person. Regardless of how we feel, that person's going to walk away and say, wow, that was worth it. That was really good. Yeah? I think submission is a key part to what we believe, to believing in God, and to feeling confident in what we believe, yeah? We're saying we want to, or I'm saying, you know, we want to successfully communicate the word. We want to believe with every fibre of our being. So therefore, submission. James 4:7, you know, submit to God and the devil will flee. This is a scripture I have constantly, every single day, because actually submission means that we can be consumed by our salvation. I think if we are submitted to God and wholeheartedly submitted, like we were singing, and like we had that opportunity to completely surrender, to completely be, God, I'm yours, absolutely anything and everything is yours because you've first given it to me. Then, oh my word, it opens up our eyes to be consumed by our salvation. Our salvation is a working process day by day. And to be consumed by it, to have the passion for our salvation, like the first day when we got saved, to be so excited about it constantly, is how I want to live every single day. Is how I want to see the church, not just this church, the church of Christ, living every single day, to be consumed by a God, to be consumed by a passion of, wow, this is brilliant. Wow, I have a life that gives me love and joy, that opens up my heart to loving other people, that opens up my heart to feeding out joy, to being generous to people, that opens up my heart, that knows that I am protected. If we are submitted, we are protected. Submit to God, the enemy will flee. Simple. End of discussion. Submit to God, nothing can hurt you. You are protected. Yeah, 100%. Nothing can come near you or approach you. You let God in when you submit. You feel loved even more so because you're not holding anything back from him, yeah? When you let God in, like we were doing in the worship, that 100% submission, you know that you are 100% loved by him even more. Because he can see everything. He knows every word before you speak it. He knows every thought. My husband doesn't even know the thoughts I have half the time because they're not quite right, I'm sure. My mind works in a very strange way. But God knows. And so when I yield to him, I'm like, Flip, you must really, really love me. Because I wouldn't. If I actually understood half of this, I'd be like, ooh. But yes, when we're submitted, we feel even more loved. We feel even more at peace. We feel even more closer to God. And we are protected. Yeah? I'm going to crack on to number two because I feel time is... Yeah. So, the other way we could go, if we are feeling today that actually we are being pulled or swayed in negative ways or... You know, we're like, okay, God, this is happening in my life, but how do I be equipped? How do I get myself out of this? How do I get redressed this morning, okay? This is the question we're now going to go with, okay? And for that, oh my word, I wrote loads. For that, we need to go to Ephesians 6, okay? Ephesians 6 is about the armour of God, and that, I feel, is the other response to this scripture in Galatians today. Ephesians 6, let's read it. That would be a good idea. So, above all, this is from verse 10. Be strong in your faith and dependence on the Lord. on his might and power, he has provided his protection for you in several ways. Clothed with his gifts and resources, you will be able to stand against all the devil's disruptive tactics. Your battle is not against people, but against negative spiritual forces that influence and control them, against the spiritual rulers, authorities, and powers that are at work in this world that is in bondage to the darkness of sin. They are in league with those evil spiritual forces that exist outside the world. So accept everything God has made available to you. Everybody, accept everything every single day that God has made available to you to enable you to stand steadfast when evil attacks. Yes, no matter what happens, you are able to stand firm and to remain standing. You stand firm with his truth like a belt you keep around your waist for support. With his truth like a belt you keep around your waist for support. His righteousness is like a breastplate that protects you. You wear the shoes of the gospel so that you are always ready for any eventuality and can walk in peace. Your faith is like a shield that you have to take hold of and that you have to take hold of. Did you hear that? And enables you to overcome anything the devil throws at you. Enables you to overcome anything, absolutely anything, people, that the devil throws at you. The assurance of your salvation is like a protective helmet enabling you to counter all the devil's lies and affect you, and efforts to deceive you and your thinking. Okay? All of them. You have not only a defensive shield, but an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Whenever you pray, depend on the Spirit to lead you and fill your prayer with his life and power. No matter what you are asking of God, how important to pray in the Spirit continually for all your fellow believers. Okay? So. So, if we are being pulled or swayed in different directions, okay, our passion for our salvation might not be as strong as it first was. Do you reckon that's a fair assumption? Yeah? So how do we then stand firm and not get pulled too far away from God? I want the church as a whole to be able to say it was worth it. That person that preached into your life or shared the gospel or demonstrated something that made you make a decision in your life, I want their efforts to be worth it, okay? For us to be living in our salvation daily, okay? Good. So, God's armor. Now, we are equipped with his armor. So my question is it on us right now? Or are we caught off guard sometimes? Do we always have our armor on? Or are we caught off guard? When things are going great and life is wonderful, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I feel that sometimes I can be kind of running through a meadow of daisies and it's beautiful and I'm like, yes, my children are loving me today. Me and my husband are right there. We're so connected. It is all good. You know, getting on with people really well, seeing people lots, being really social. Money isn't an issue today. We're doing really well. Oh, I'm so excited. And I'm just like, I'm surrounded by daisies. Everything is beautiful. And then I look up and, wait for this, are you ready for my terminology here? I see a great big orc running towards me. That is the right word, isn't it? Help me out here. It's like, please let me get this right. Yeah, really big monster in Lord of the Rings. Okay, I was trying to think of something that was really gross and monstrous and horrible. Yep, so in my meadow of daisies, and I'm like, ha, great big orc running towards me. What do I do? Now, I've been challenged this last 5 weeks, and now I can say, I'm ready. Yeah? I have my armor on all the time. This is something God, I think it was Pastor Brian that was preaching, actually, and God really challenged me on it, and I was like, ha-ha, where is my armor? Is it sitting in the corner of my bedroom, nicely erected in an armor-like way? Sitting there, I don't know. Or is it actually in a cupboard? Because, you know, God gave it to me when I was saved, when I chose to place my faith in him and he adopted me as his son. He gave me this armor. And have I just kind of shoved it in the cupboard and thought, well, I don't need that right now, life is all good? Or Is it there? So what does your undergarments look like? What is your underwear like today? Are they? I feel like... Okay. I feel like the armor of God, this is actually a really good point. I was thinking this was an amazing revelation for me. I feel like the armor of God is my underwear. It should be on all the time. And when I'm in the meadow of daisies and this great big orc is running towards me, all I literally have to do is go, clothes are off, I'm a superhero, and I'm ready. That is what I feel. And now I feel like a lemon, actually. But I'm like, woohoo! I don't need to run home and retreat and be like, oh, pants, where did I put it? Like, oh my word! I've got all these spiritual books locked away in a cupboard. Is my armour in there too? God, I forgot about this. I don't have to do that. It's on me. Every morning when I get up, I choose God and I say, yeah, my life is pants without you. I need you. I accept your salvation today. I accept the gift of communication, which I really don't like, but I'm really accepting every day. And I'm putting this on. I'm putting your armour on because actually I have no idea what's going to happen when I walk out that door. I have no idea what the enemy's going to attempt to throw at me today and what he's going to attempt to throw at my friends. If I come into here and I see someone in a mess, I don't want to be like, oh, hang on, let me just run home, get prepared and come back. Now I can deal with you. I want to be like, hang on, you're in a battle. Whoosh! This is my armour, share it. Let me stand in front of you. Let me help you. Let me battle for you. This is what I have. This is what I want to share with you. This is what I believe in. This is what I have. 100% in every fiber of my being is believing. So therefore, every single day, my underwear is the arm of God. I apologize. Every single day is there. And I know, you know, you might be like... She's lost it. That's a really silly analogy. But this is the way God speaks to me. Because he is just like, Jem, it is that simple. Jem, that it is that easy. It is that black and white. It's not something to get caught up in. It's not something to go home and pray about for hours or lock myself away in the secret place and be like, oh man, I don't know what to do. There are times for that. But we all have life. Do you know what I mean? We all have life. I've learnt lots in the last 3 years that I don't get hours on my face every day before the Lord. I'll admit that, I don't. I have two very, very lively children. But actually I love them and they help me and God teaches me through them. There's no reason why I can't have worship music on in the house and be praying while I'm playing with them, while I'm making their lunch, while I'm doing things with them. You know, people are like, how do you... I'm like, well, it's simple. I listen to podcasts while I'm playing with my children. I pray while I'm making their lunch or washing up the dishes. I create an atmosphere so that I don't feel that I'm going far away from God. I create an atmosphere that says, hey, I've got even more responsibility now. I have two defensive children that I need to protect. My armor needs to be on. It needs to be on every day. It needs to be on first. Then I can choose what I want to wear. You know, then I can look how I want to look. But my underwear needs to be strong. And it needs to be an armour of God. I really need to stop, don't I? So, how do you get dressed in the morning? Do you have your armour on, or is it stacked nicely in the corner of your room, ready for days that are a bit pants? Or is it in a cupboard, where you only bring it out when, you know, things are seriously bad? You know, do you wait for that point, or do you have your armour on? Do you see it like an actual armour, or do you see it as, like, I like to see it as a physical thing that helps me, that makes me feel like I'm practically equipped and I'm ready. Like often when I pray, I carry my Bible It just helps me. It's a physical thing. And so I like to have it there in my hand and be a bit like with it, you know, is the sword. You know, how do you see it? Do you see it as something physical, or is it something that's just in your mind? Or, you know, I don't know, how do you see it? It's a question, it's a challenge, really. What helps you practically? I want this to be really practical today. What helps you practically to be equipped and to be ready? So, yeah, the responses today, I feel, from what God's been saying is, you know, do you want to be consumed by your salvation? Do you want to share his gospel successfully? And do you believe what you are sharing? Yeah? So that's a kind of, okay, I feel I'm good. I feel I've got my armor on. I feel like I know what I'm doing. But I'm not too sure my passion's 100%, you know. Do I 100% believe? Do I want to do something more in that department? Or am I actually having a bit of a pants day? And I am feeling like I'm being a bit swayed and pulled down. You know, I do want to really, I want to get redressed this morning. I want to just, bear with me, take my clothes off, redress, put my clothes back on. You know, in your mind, people. Where do you feel you're at, I suppose? What do you feel has been appropriate for you this morning? How do you feel you need to now respond appropriately to what God's been saying? So there's kind of two kind of paths, if you like. And we're going to make one of those decisions, make one of those responses, I suppose. So, yeah, you're either going to stand up and get redressed, or you're going to stand up and submit and say, I want to believe 100%. I want to be consumed 100% by my salvation every single day. I want to get up and choose. Yes, salvation is the way. Good times. Up then, stand up. Come on. Got about 3 minutes. I'm going with. So everyone gets a coffee before the children. I'm considerate, I'm a mum, you see. So about 3 minutes of what are we gonna do? Should we have a bit of just, I don't know, it might help people. Thank you, sweetheart. Bit of tinkling, you know, often helps, doesn't it? I don't know. So if you want to get redressed, sort it out, put your armor on, put your clothes back on, please. If you want to submit, have a moment with God and say, yeah, I surrender 100%. I'm believing 100%. I'm choosing. And do what you need to do. 3 minutes.
Amen. You see, what you surrendered into earlier today, perhaps you weren't really sure what you were surrendering to. And now Gemma has brought the word of the Lord. This is what you were surrendering to. So as you submit now, or whether you put on your armor, you're doing it from that position of surrender to his way, that nothing is going to divert me from following my hero, my Jesus. So as you submit, know that in a sense you've already done it. You're just taking hold of what happened earlier and saying, right, this is what you meant, Jesus. This is what I'm going to do then. Changed in this building this morning. It's not been huge hurrah, but lives have been changed because you've made decisions in the spirit. Hallelujah. Don't let go of them. It's so easy to make decisions here in the mountain, or here at the mountaintop, here on the summit, and then to descend, as it were, back into the world and leave behind what God said. Happens again and again in the Bible. Hear God on the mountain, and then they go back into ordinary life. And it doesn't just mean bad stuff. It You know, it can be things that are good that you just start to like so much it takes you away from God. And you've got to put it in the right place. You necessarily even got to get rid of it. Sometimes you can't. I mean, if it's your wife, you can't get rid of her. You've got to sort that another way. Yeah, sometimes people just think you've got to cut it off. You can't always, you know, but you've got to deal with it. There was once, I mean, you all know, I love board games and that sort of stuff. There was once a time in my life when it got in the way. I cut it out of my life for, I don't know, probably 15 or 20 years because it got in the way. And I wasn't having that. And God released me back into it. But if it gets into a position where I started to love it too much, I'd cut it off. And that's how it's got to be. That's what that sword is for. Do you remember what the sword is? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Why is it Spirit and Word in the same sentence? Because it's about using God's Word in the Spirit. See, the Spirit leads you to use the Word. Because just as we finish, I just want you to all picture yourself as Bolt the dog. I've never seen that before, but I just saw every single Christian in Bolt. You know, because he barked, didn't he? And all the demonic forces that were coming against him were scattered. And you don't say, well, they didn't really do that. That was the film crew. No, that's exactly what it's like. We speak the word of the God. We speak the word of the Lord in the Spirit. And all the forces of darkness go boom. But we have nothing to do with it. Because behind the scene, the great director ensures our word is backed by his Spirit, his truth. So yeah, we release the word, but then the force of God, the word of the Lord, has an effect far beyond. We're nothing in ourselves. We're just a dog going yap, 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 yap. But when we pick up the sword of the truth, we'll cut through the lies of the enemy. That lie that says you're useless. That lie that says your husband will never get saved. That lie that says you must always walk in sickness. That lie that says you haven't got enough money to put coins in the electric meter even. They're all lies from the enemy, because the enemy is about blessing you. The lie that says you are restricted by your past. There is always freedom in Christ. The lie that says, I'm just going to go back to how I was. It's a lie. Cut it off with the word of truth. But if you don't yap, the bark from the Lord will never come. That's why sometimes when the forces of darkness are coming against you and all these things, you feel like you're just going, yap, 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 yap. Yeah, you are. You are. But you in Christ, you've got your underpants on. That's why Superman wears them on the outside, just to remind himself. I don't recommend that as a practical application from Gemma's talk, but if you need to. Hallelujah. God's armor. That was a good illustration. Never take it off. We wear it all the time. It's there. We just have to remember. Pick up the shield. Up the sword. You're a superhero in Christ. Amen. Have an awesome week. Be blessed. Freedom in Christ tomorrow night is about taking that word and cutting through rubbish so that you live in freedom. So see Brian and Shona about that. And we're back on Thursday, 7:30, up and running with God Encounter again. Have an awesome week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.